as we roll through breaking down all of the big NFL awesomeness. Three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday. Sean Merriman, Lights Out Podcast with the iHeart Podcast Network. Let's go ahead and bring him in. Sean, I love the expanded playoffs. I love that we had three games on Saturday. I love that we had three on Sunday. I went and watched the Titans game against the Ravens here in my hometown of Nashville. Took one of my sons, had an incredible time. What do you think about the idea of expanding to seven AFC and seven NFC? Do you like the idea of the expanded playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. And that just, you know, for one, I'll take it back. And I know we talked about it either a week or a week before that. Back to the NFL doing an incredible job at figuring this thing out.
Like, amen. Yes.
From the start of the year, I'm looking at, like, saying to myself, there's no way in hell they're going to be able to not only finish the season, but figure this thing out. It's just way too many. You look at what the NBA did, and they went and forced themselves in the bubble, and no one can leave. You can't go anywhere. And they still had some problems. The NFL didn't even force the bubble and was able to finish the season. And now, you know, getting into this new expanded playoff picture, I think it's great. You know, I think it's another thing they probably going to need to look at some point in time, too, is what in the hell is going on with the NFC East and figuring that playoff system out. But I just think they did an amazing job so far in continuing this thing and still making it exciting, because it's hard. You know, for one, you don't have all your fans there. That's one, you know, first thing, you have your fan base at the stadium where you can actually feel the emotion and the passion of the game. But two, still making it fun and exciting for us to sit back and watch on TV. So I think they've done a magnificent job, man, to keep this thing going.
All right, I'm going to ask you to break down a lot of these different games. I'm going to run through them with you. But I think we are underrating how good Tom Brady is looking at the end of this year, right? And I know they get a rematch now against the Saints, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Can the Saints beat him for a third time? But Brady, as a guy who played against Brady and was in the league for several years against Brady for a while too, are you just blown away? I mean, Sean, he looks younger on the field. His arm looks more lively. It's really pretty remarkable to see what he is capable of. I mean, the guy threw 40 touchdowns at the age of 43, and he was throwing the ball down the field. And this, I know part of the story is Heinicke, and I'll ask you about him too. But to me, for Saturday night game, I was watching Brady, and I'm like, this dude doesn't just have 1 year left. I mean, he's got multiple years left based on the way he's playing right now.
You know, 100%. And, you know, even playing him for all those years, I always said internally, like within myself, that he was only that good because of Bill Belichick. I really thought that.
Right.
You know, because Bill Belichick is such a hell of a coach. They built such a dynasty and a team that, as I always said to myself, even playing them, I said, I'm not really worried about Tom Brady. I'm worried about Bill Belichick. Well, you know, Tom Brady too, but I'm worried about the coaching that's going to come from this game. And I think that what Tom Brady did by going down to Tampa and proving everybody wrong that it wasn't Bill Belichick, it was him. He was, you know, he was the reason, and seeing what the Patriots did this year, Tom Brady was the reason why that organization ran for two decades. I mean, he was the reason. And, being a competitor of him, you can see it on film and you can see some of the things he's doing, but you always in the back of my head, no matter when we played those guys, I was like, oh, he called this perfect play because Bill Belichick called that. But now you're saying, we talk about him being younger, Brady's doing something. I think that Tony Dungy or somebody said after the game, someone said at the game, said he's doing something that Tony Dungy didn't even see when they beat them in the Super Bowl. He's moving around in the pocket. You know, he's moving around, but you see he's been younger. He's moving around more than he's ever had in the last 5 years. And I'm not talking about taking off and running. I mean, just straight up pocket awareness where he's making some things happen by being an athlete. Like, I haven't seen that in Tom Brady in 15 years.
It's pretty remarkable. And not to take anything away from Heinicke, right, because that was an incredible performance. He made a lot of plays for Washington, but Washington really was not in the same stratosphere in terms of what they could accomplish. I mean, he made a couple of crazy plays. But when you look at that matchup, and I'll even talk a little bit ahead, because, I thought it was a fairly – the Saints' defense is for real. I don't think there's any way to criticize them. But How difficult do you think it will be for the Saints to beat the Bucs for a third time as we look ahead for that game that's coming up? Or do you look at it and say, the Saints are a good matchup, and that's why they were able to handle twice the Bucs pretty easily?
For one, it was a really good matchup, and they match up very well. But this, in my opinion, Tampa's getting hot at the right time. Like they're the team with the momentum. And if you look at the course of the season, right, there's no offseason really. You got, you know, training camp, and you basically no preseason games. You kind of start the season with a brand new team. What you're seeing right now from the Buccaneers is they're finally getting on the same page. I'm talking about across the board. I'm not surprised that Antonio Brown is heating up right now. I'm not surprised that Mike Evans, they're finding ways to get him the ball and making things look easy. You know, they have a well-oiled machine over there. It was just like they just needed a little bit of WD-40 somewhere in the middle, just, you know, keep that thing moving until they figure it out. That was the whole goal for them, right? Let's get ourselves to the playoffs and let's get on the same page. And you talk about two teams, and I'm not saying anything about the Saints today. I think they played well in a lot of areas. But if you look at the two teams, one is going at a skyrocketing rapid pace and getting better, and the other one is just looking still pretty good.
One of the interesting stories, I thought, most so coming out of the playoffs in that early games was the Rams seemed like they were really driven by a feeling of disrespect for how the Seahawks performed in an earlier game against them. The Ravens seemed like they felt disrespected by the Titans. We hear a lot of talk about bulletin board material and everything else associated with it. And I'm going to get to social media and how that impact can be. But in your experience as a guy who was in the league as long as you were, how much did the pregame talk matter in terms of a team's ability, willingness, and playing style?
Well, you know, sometimes it's not even just a pregame. It's way before, right? I mean, you're sitting on this the whole entire week. And what I don't understand about certain guys when they come out and say things is that, especially for teams, you got to see again, right? I mean, if you've never seen them again and you beat them, and maybe you got to see them the following year. But when you got to see them again in the same year, you got to be pretty damn dumb to come out and talking crap, because they're going to hang that in the locker room. They're going to practice that all week. Great coaches will use that every single play. A guy that in practice is jogging around, he's not going full speed. Guess what? John Harbaugh or somebody's going to walk up to him and say, hey, guess what? They danced for your logo last time. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to jog? They just danced. So it becomes fuel to the fire every single day during the week. So now people start game planning different. The you know, their blood is boiling by the time they get to the game. And I just never understand. I never understood why guys talk the way they talk, especially when you got to go out and see that person again. You know, same thing with Juju said a few weeks ago about the Browns. The same thing with, I think it was Adams, the safety for Seattle, that came out and smoked a cigar last time he beat the Rams.
That's right.
So I'm like, man, you got to see these guys again. What are you thinking?
I wonder how much of a lot, and it is interesting because social media was just kind of taken off when your career came to a close. But how much of that is guys putting on a show for their social media following and trying to grow their own brands? Because that's one thing, like a decade ago, the only way you grew your brand was by winning, right? I mean, like that was it. Like your team had to be able to win, and if you won, you had a good brand. Now there are guys using Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever else to develop a name for themselves, and it sometimes can create, I think, a distinction between what might be good for the team and what might be good for the player. I think it's kind of put that disconnect and that sometimes dichotomy on steroids. Do you buy into that? That social media has changed the way guys talk and maybe the way that guys are even playing at times?
Absolutely. And you know, it's gotten to the point where it's gotten bad because, for one, we talked before, Eric. You're on social media, I'm on social media, and we do it because, you know, we're trying to either get a message out or say certain things and get our point across. We have jobs and have things promoted, put out. So those things are beneficial. The problem is with athletes, right, you're trying to fit in on social media with other people who are not professional athletes. So if there's a challenge going on, if there's something that, you know, kind of went viral, then another guy's trying to do it. So you're doing all these things to try to get your social media following up, and you, some things you can't do because you got to go out and play. You know, and it kind of got under my skin to hear and see Juju doing all these things. I'm like, dude, that's fine for a fan, right? That's fine for someone who loves the game. But when you go out and you dance no guy's logo, you can't tell me you don't know that's disrespectful. That is disrespectful. When guys find out about it, they're going to do something about it. Because, and Clay, I'll tell you, one of the reasons why I started playing football a long time ago, and I told my mom, she said, why do you want to play football? I said, so I can hit somebody and not get in trouble for it. This was my reason for playing football. I said I wanted to hit somebody and not get in trouble for it because you can't do it anywhere else, right? You can't do it out here when I'm going to jail. So that was my reason for playing football. So now if you take Juju and all these guys that are talking like this on social media and doing these disrespectful things, guess what? You got 60 minutes to line up against the guy across from you. And best believe he wants to do something to you about it. So I get it, Bill. I'm all for it, man. I love that branding aspect. I think the Juju and all these guys have a great brand that they're building. But let's not forget what you get paid to do for a living.
When you look at I said coming into the wild card round of the playoffs that the two quarterbacks I thought had the most at stake were Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. If they both won, they would get the proverbial monkey off their back. They would win a playoff game, not only for, Lamar Jackson didn't want to go to 0-3 in the playoffs, but also Josh Allen's team hadn't won a playoff game in forever, 25 years, basically. So the whole organization has that kind of hanging over them. What do you think the impact might be now for a guy like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson now that they know not only can they get to the playoffs, they can win a game there? And as you look ahead and know that they're headed to the divisional round, and obviously they hope to go to the AFC Championship and beyond, what is getting that first win for a quarterback and for an organization like the Bills, but also the Ravens behind Lamar Jackson, what does that do for an organization?
It just cracks the narrative. As a player, to be honest, you hear it, but you don't really feel it. You don't feel it that way. You hear it. But it doesn't change your approach to trying to win another football game, whether it's the playoff game or whether it's the regular season. But I can tell you, sure as hell get tired of hearing it because it's like, man, and take Lamar Jackson, for example. Lamar Jackson has accomplished a lot in his first couple of years. I mean, more than the average person, an MVP, and the records he's continuously breaking, those things, he's accomplished a lot. So for someone to say, you know what, he's not that great of a player because he didn't win the playoff, it's like, okay, guys, come on. You're talking about a revolutionary type of player that's already has changed the way football is played because of what he's athletically capable of doing. And you go over to Josh Allen's side, it's like, man, and Clay, to be honest, I was caught in between because he was playing my former teammate, Phillip Rivers, and I wanted the game so bad for Phillip, but I also played for the Bills, and I'm just sitting back like, I want the organization to win, the Bills, because I played there and I know how much it means to that city. I remember back playing that we beat the Patriots and you would have thought a parade was happening. It was the town is shut down, right? We forced Tom Brady to throw four interceptions and it was a great day in Buffalo. So that was just one game against the Patriots. We wasn't going to the playoffs or anything like that. That was just a game. So I know how important it was for the city to win it, but I was sure as hell sitting back like, man, you know what? Phillip is on the team for the first time in a couple of years that they have a real chance of winning the ring. So I felt for it, but I am happy for Josh Allen because he's going to be a great quarterback for the next 5-10+ years in the NFL.
What do you think Phillip Rivers is going to do now? He had a pretty good year with the Colts. They've got a good offensive line. They had a lot of injuries. It seems like Jonathan Taylor, their young running back, is going to have an awful lot of success in the NFL. How soon do you think Phillip Rivers makes a decision, and what do you think he might do?
I can't see Phillip Rivers walking away right now. I really can't, especially if the team asks him to come back. I know he's accepted whenever he's retired to go coach in high school down in Florida, Alabama. I can't remember which one it was. I know he's going to be a hell of a coach when he's done. He's got a lot of kids to go down there and take care of for sure. But I can't, me knowing Phillip, the competitive side in him wants to give it one more go. And I do believe if the coach asks him to come back, that he is. He will, and he should. He had a great year. He finally, it meant a lot for me personally, you know, being his former teammate, and people saying he's washed up, he can't play anymore, and see how well he can, he can still go at it. So I think that if the coach gives him another opportunity to come back, he will.
We're talking to Sean Merriman as we roll into the divisional round of the playoffs. You mentioned this, and I think it's a big deal, and I think it's a big statement. The NFL being able to get this all done is it's truly a remarkable accomplishment, right? I mean, to get the entirety of the season in like they have managed to do is really, I mean, it's one of the great accomplishments in NFL history.
I think it's one of the greatest accomplishments in sports history.
Yeah.
If you look at all the colleges back in August or July, August, whatever it was, that all the conferences that were shutting down before they even got a chance to do anything, right? They were already canceling the season, and they didn't even have an opportunity to start it. And so, we're talking about an entire conference. We're not talking about one school, one or two schools here and there. We're talking about an entire conference. So for the NFL to figure it out and say, you know what, we're going to forward this thing and we're going to start it. We'll do it as safely as possible. We'll go all the protocols and things we got to do. We'll do it the right way, but we're going to start this year. But for me, I'm not surprised, because that's why the NFL is the NFL and why they're perceived, their perception here in the country is so damn big, because they are bulldogs, man. They'll go and get things done when necessary.
Sean, as we kind of roll forward, Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers got to sit out and wait. What is it like for those guys, you think, to get an extra week of rest at this point in time? And are you nervous at all about whether that team is ready, whether it's the Packers or whether it is the Chiefs, with the ability? And remember, especially for the Chiefs, they basically got 2 weeks off because they took off for a lot of their stars beforehand. What do you anticipate seeing out of those two teams? Should they be the favorites in a substantial degree to go out and go to the Super Bowl, do you think?
I guess some people can be, I don't know if you want to call it a ritual, or, you got some coaches that like to stay in the moment and go and do your regular routine and all that stuff. But I believe in health, especially this late in the season. I played in the first round bye, and I can tell you that if we didn't have that bye, I don't think I would have played that first game of the playoffs, because I was just banged up from the 17 weeks of playing. I was just beat up.
How much difference does that make for your body then? For somebody like you who's in basically 30 or 40 car accidents minimum every week, I mean, that extra week made a tremendous difference to how you felt?
It's night and day, so I'll put it to you like this. I mean, you wake up, obviously you get a light lifting, you stretch, and you do all the things you got to do, but you start to ice and cold tub, the ice cold tub, and then jump in the hot tub and jump in the sauna. You stretch a little bit more if you got a tight hamstring or a quad or your ankles rolled or something like that. The swelling drops over the last 4 or 5 days. You get complaints. It sounds a little bit freaky that someone rolled an ankle, got a sprained ankle. They just need 5 days. The normal human being needs 3 weeks, but
yeah,
that 5 or 6 days in the NFL is a lifetime, because you just feel that much better. You go out there, and now you're not hitting in practice much later on in the year. You're not having pads on, so practice is not that tough. So now you're just really going out there and getting fully healthy, and it's incredible, man. I would tell anyone, if you have an opportunity to get that bye week, take that bye week. It's important, and obviously the home field advantage.
I know I said last question, but this is a real last question. Season, there's been a lot less practice and a lot less of OTAs and mini camps and everything else. And guys have actually come out, and they look like, at least offensively, like the games have looked pretty good. As a player, does that mean to you, hey, man, we don't have to be there as much as we maybe had been in the past? Like some of this stuff is unnecessary.
Well, I can tell you, a smart veteran should say that. That would be me. We go out and perform well. We're not practicing as much. We're doing everything virtual. I'll be the first one to recommend that. But, I think that if you look at across the board, look at any big CEO out here in the company, I got employees of my own.
Yep.
We haven't met up again in months.
Yes.
Right? And we're still able to get things done. And, you know, now you got the people.
I got employees. I got employees in 10 states, Sean. And it's like a pretty smooth process, even without us being in the same place. And so I do think that this has been, you know, one of the benefits of this is people would have never taken the risk to stop the business travel and to not be going into the office and all those things. But now that they have done it and they've recognized that it hasn't necessarily destroyed the business, I think a lot of people have learned that their business is able to function in ways that they wouldn't have believed otherwise.
And it's the same. It's no different than football, because I'll tell you what's happening. You know, now that if a team can win and have a successful season, for one, without beating each other up, one, without having to do physical things, you can do a walkthrough or you can do stuff virtual and talk it out. And you got a lot of these old school coaches. I played with some old school coaches who believed in hitting. Right, that's the only way you're gonna get good. And if you're being tough and toughing us up, you're going out hitting every day. If guys go out and you're not hitting every day, you're not doing these things, and they're making great plays, they're not getting tired, the condition is good. So now you're going to have these old-school coaches with the old-school mindset maybe changing their train of thought. Okay, maybe we don't have to do this. Maybe we don't have to beat each other up or meet an extra 4 hours a day in person in order for us to win football games. So I think that this time period and adjustment has been it's opened up a lot of doors for the future.
Good stuff as always, Sean Merriman. Enjoy the games this weekend. Appreciate you coming on with us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You got it. Anytime.
That's Sean Merriman. Lights out. Go listen to his podcast, the iHeart Podcast Network.